Okay, good morning. This past week's daf was the first daf, Maseches Chagiga. Beis Hashem, we should have Siyata Dishmaya. Learn Masechta well in understanding Ad Shiyodein Magas. So the Mishnah starts, Hakol Chayavim B'Re'iyah. The Mishnah talks about the Chiyav R'iyah. So it's kedai as the Rambam himself talks about, gives a bissel hakdoma as far as the mitzvahs, the chiyuvim biyomtiv. The Rambam says over here in Perek Aleph Hilchos Chagiga Sholosh mitzvahs asei nitzdavu Yisrael b'chol regel. Misholish Golem. Three mitzvahs essay. Re'iyah, Mrs. Re'iyah, right, we'll see the psukim momentarily. Yirah calls Churcha. It sounds like Yirah calls Churcha, right? That you have to appear. Yirah, Kipshute means in Nazor, and the Beis HaMikdash. In Nazor, Yirah calls Churcha. They have to be seen, appear there. The hachagiga shenagam tochu l'Hashem aleikecha korban chagiga v'asimcha Hashem asmach lechagecha. That's what the Rambam mentions over here. The Rambam brings the pasuk of Yirah calls Churcha, but as the Rambam explains, and you see clearly, we'll see in Halacha. We'll get back to that. But the Rambam in Halacha Beis says Hariyah v'Chagiga ein lahem shir min haTorah, shnema ish kematnas yodoy. Like we see in the Mishnah, that Re'iyah also refers to a korban. That means when you come in, you're supposed to bring a korban. That's referred to as the oilas re'iyah. It's a korban oila. Chagiga is a korban shlomim. Right, two different types of korbanos. An oila, right, is kul kolum. That's the din of an oila that's totally burnt. There's no chelek habaylim. There's nothing eaten. It's all burnt. Shlomim, that's already, there's a chelik, legavoya, bailim, kohanim, that's that type of korban. Now, it's kedai over here just to mention the mekodes, the source in the Torah, right? The Torah, it's two places. The Torah talks about the mitzvahs, these mitzvahs. In Parshas Mishpatim, there's psukim which discuss the chiyuvim of Yom Tov. Shol shegom tochak li bashana. That's the mitzvah. Tochel di bashonis, chagamatzis, chagakotzim, chagosif. And the Pasuk says, Sholosh po mashon, yiro kol zchuch es pnei od Hashem. The Pasuk over here talks about these three times, yiro kol zchuch es pnei od Hashem. Now, the Pasuk previously, in the pasuk we talked about, Chag HaMatzis mentions over there, V'lo yeiro fonai reikom. Right? The pasuk, even before mentioning a positive chiyuv, when the pasuk starts talking about the Gimel Regolim, first mentions Chag HaMatzis, like I said before, it mentions all three. Chag HaMatzis, Chag HaKotzim, Chag HaOsef, right. And the Pasuk over this is, Lo Yirol Fonei Reikon, right, mentions, like, Kipshuta, that's a Lois Asei, right, there's a Mitzvah Asei and Mitzvah Lois Asei, that's a Lois Asei, Lo Yirol Fonei Reikon, don't come empty handed, right, so that's a Lois Asei that, you know, you have to bring a korban when you come in. And then the Pasuk later says that it's a chiyuv to come. Right? And that first Pasuk doesn't even talk about necessarily come. Just that first Pasuk would seem to say that if you come, don't come empty handed. Right? So as far as that Pasuk, you know, you think, okay, fine, if I don't have anything to offer, I just won't come. But next Pasuk says, no, Shosh Pamashon, Yerah calls Chuches Pneyad Hashem, that you gotta come. Right? So you gotta come. Can't come on empty-handed, so shame. So that's, you know, that's mechayev you to bring a korban. Now, simply, it would seem like, you know, there's a mitzvah essay and a mitzvah lois essay over here. That's what it is. You know, you got to come, right? But and that's a mitzvah essay, the positive mitzvah. And then there's a mitzvah lois essay that, you know, when you come, don't come empty-handed. So you think that, you know, if you come, fine, regardless, your mekayim mitzvah essay. Now, if you come empty-handed, okay, you're over a lois essay. Right? That's kipshute, what we would think should be. Those who are more advanced, maybe we start thinking about, you know, mitzvah habo b'aveira kind of things that maybe that could affect the kiyum hamitzvah. But seemingly it's two, you know, two independent things. And as soon as they have to come together at the same time. So that's what it says over here in Parashas Mishpatim. Now in Parashas Re'ei, once again, right, Lean on Yom Tov over here, also talks about over here. Beif Re'ei talks about the Nimay Adam. So after the psukim talk about the three mayadim, then it says v'somachta b'chagecho, that's a mitzvah of simcha. Shivas yom tochoi l'Hashem aleikecho. V'yisach someach. And then the pasuk says shosh pa'amim yirah kol zchurcha. Right, talks about being present. Yeirah kol zchurcha, that's the mitzvah of coming into the Azor. Yeirah kol zchurcha es pnei Hashem lekecha b'makom mashe yivchor. We're makom mashe yivchor, that's where you gotta come. And the pasuk says in the gimel regolim, right? V'lo yeirah es pnei Hashem lekecha Hashem reikom. This pasuk, you know, puts it, you gotta come, and v'lo yeirah reikom. Ish kemat nas yodah kvikas Hashem kalach Hashem nosan loch. Now, the lo yiroa panay reikom, so Rashi says in Parashas Mishpatim, kishe tavoyu lirois panay birigolim, when you come to the Azora, tavili oilis, bring oilis. So, the loisa say seems to refer to oilo. And that's what we refer to as the Oilas Re'iyah. Now, in Parshas Re'ei, if you notice in the Rashi over there, Rashi says, V'lo yiroa es pnei Hashem reikom, elo have Oilas Re'iyah v'sham l'chagiga. Right, Rashi brings in this pasuk over here, Ish kemat nas yodah kvikas Hashem kalach Hashem nosan loch. What's that referring to? Rashi says, Mi sheish lo ich nha be nachos merubim yovei oilois merubois ushlomim merubim. Someone that has oichlin habe, he has a lot of people who need to be fed, oichlin habe unachos merubim, and he has wealth. Yavi oilas merubais ushlame merubim. Now, shlomim, no, is for eating. So we understand that it has to. That's why. But oila over here, you see from Rashi also even though a person oila, you're not eating from the oila, right? So part of the purpose of the oila is accomplished with one oila. But no, the pasuk says this came out of Rashi says that that goes someone that Bereshit gave him a bracha that he has wealth. That he should also bring Kamaras Yodai. Okay, so this is what we have over here in the Psukim that mentioned over here. The Rambam says that the Korban Chagiga is in Tochog Lashem Lakecha. That refers to the Korban Chagiga. Okay, so we have a mitzvah to come to the Azorim. There are mitzvahs, that means to show up, the mitzvahs to bring certain carbon oila, carbon shlamim, and there's a lois that say, v'lo yiroi fonei reka. And that's what we have over here so far.
Just clarification for so the chagiga is multiple carbon shlamim. That's for how many people you have to feed. Is that what that carbon is?
It could be. We'll see. There's something called Shami Simcha, right? So this point will have to be revised in addition to the Shlomo, right? Right, so I have to see how that works with that Rashi that we just saw. The Rambam says, "V'asimcha muru begolim hi sheyakev shlomim yesa al shalmi chagiga ve'de shame simcha." Right, and it seems to be that these are the ones to provide the basar for the simcha, according to that.
And do we leave that point where he says where Rashi in Mishpatim? Rashi and Re'eh, when he says that he's mentioned Lashami Chagika as part of Leira Espanay Hashem Reikam, and he doesn't mention that Mishpatim is we're just leaving that as
right. We're leaving that as a horror for now. Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, there is. There is a chiddush that is found in the Rambam that we couldn't go by without mentioning this. So as we stated before, right, that it would seem to be that these are two mitzvahs which come together, and even a person with a shop without a korban, L'chayr he would be kind of mitzvah of coming, and fine, you know, maybe he would be ever lazy to say of not bringing the korban. However, the Rambam says as follows: Hara'iyah hamura b'tayre hu shenir panav ba'azora b'yom tefarishin shel chag. The Rambam is describing what the mitzvah of re'iyah is, which he mentioned before. Yeroa calls zechurcha. The mitzvah is to be present in the Azorah B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. First day, let me first talk about whether this is dafka, I mean, keep sure this is din of Hashlumin. But Akopon, the Rambam says to come, V'yavi imoy korban oila, and bring with him a korban oila. Now the Rambam says like this, Misha bo la'azor b'yom rishon v'loy hevi oila. Let's say someone shows up and he does not bring a korban oila. So we would have thought that, fine, okay, you know, he's Mekayim, you know, the mitzvah to come, he showed up, but he's over an iser of showing up empty-handed. The Rambam says as follows, Mishabol azor b'yam rishin v'loy hevi oila loy dayoy shaloy osa mitzvahs esay. Not only was he not Mekayim mitzvahs esay, elo over aloy sasay. He's also over aloy sasay, shenem lo yero ponay reikom. So the Rambam says that he's not mekayim his mitzvah at all of showing up. Right? That's what the Rambam says. If someone comes empty-handed, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of coming. That's what the Rambam says over here. And it's interesting also how the Rambam puts it, right? From where we're coming from, I think we would have said, if someone comes empty-handed, not only is he over the loisa sev lo yiro fanei reikam, but he's not even mekayim the mitzvah essay of showing up. Right? That's what I would have thought. That's the way to write. The Rambam doesn't even write like that. The Rambam says that someone comes empty-handed, not only is he not mekayim the mitzvah essay, but there's also loy sase. Right, that's how the Rambam says it. So what we see in the Rambam, there is a relationship between these two parts over here, showing up and bringing a carbon, and they're related to each other in such a way that the mitzvah could only be miskayim if you bring a carbon when you come. If you don't bring the carbon when you come, then it's missing in the mitzvah itself. That's what you see from the Rambam. And this is a big point of discussion. Farshim Turi Evin talks a lot about this and brings many rais, and this is something that maybe we could bear in mind as we're learning, the first few blad over here, and to see rais for or against this Shitas Rambam. It means that the Rambam seems to be that these two things are intertwined; they're indivisible. Now, if we would have Maran Mekoymes that these things are not connected, one could exist without the other, then that would be a question that the Rambam has to answer.
Perhaps we can suggest the formulation of the Rambam is just a perush on the pasuk in Re'eh, where it says that Yerei Kolos Churcha, and then don't come and I rekam. That's the flow of the pasuk. So. He's just a parish on that pasuk. What's the pasuk telling us? It's telling us that you need to appear, but don't appear empty-handed. I mean, so first it goes in the first part of pasuk. Otherwise, and if you do go empty-handed, you didn't appear. And but the seifa of the pasuk itself includes an isser.
So how do we know? See what one could wonder is according to the Rambam that if you didn't bring the pasuk leiro panerekam, so how do you know that coming is dependent on the carbon at all?
Right. So you need the second half of the pasuk.
So how could the Rambam say before bringing the second half that if you don't bring a carbon, not only you're not yetzer, but you're also over alav, like the pasuk says leiro panerekam?
Because the seifa of the pasuk first comes to clarify the resha, because that's what's on our mind. What's on our mind is this mitzvah asay that we're working with.
Same, but isn't the first glance of a lawyer or a penegram telling me it's a lois asay? I mean, that's for sure what it is.
If it's the second half of the pasuk, maybe not, because the thing that's on our mind is the first half of the pasuk. I'm not talking about a lois asay right now. I'm thinking of the mitzvah asay of appearing in the azara. That's
so lawyer or a penegram doesn't mean a lois asay.
Also,
that's not what it is.
Also,
it's also.
But it's a but first it's a clarification, because if the pasuk would start off with that, I mean, which you could kind of from Ishpatim, it is mentioned earlier, but they're not in the same pasuk. But in Re'eh, they're mentioned, both of these parts mentioned in the same pasuk, but the first part, the ratio of the pasuk, is a mitzvah to appear in the Azara. So that's what I'm thinking of. Before talking about a losa, I'm thinking of that. And the seif of the pasuk clarifies how to fulfill and not fulfill that mitzvah mentioned in the resha, and then the end of the pasuk. But once we're done focusing on the mitzvah's essay, just also the formulation of the pasuk is that it's a los essay as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so maybe the Rambam simply defines appearing as appearing with a carbon.
So how does he know that? That would be
because
the question
of the pasuk that says that. Don't show up without a.
Okay, so that's really coming
so
from there.
Don't
okay,
show up without a carbon.
This is something. This is a possibility. What you're saying over here. I mean, in the it's probably true that the Rambam learns that, but whatever the pasuk says, Aloysa say, I mean, as far as I'm, whenever the pasuk says a negative thing like that, from what I understand, pretty much it's Aloysa say. You want to say it's also an explanation to the pasuk that could be, but the primary outlook on that is that it's only a condition and you know it's a secondary thing that it's Aloysa say that will be. You know, totally opposite from what the other Rishonim are saying. Okay, but that's a possibility. That's possibly we have to maybe get it. You know, some other examples to this how you know how we do that. But now according to what you're saying right now, there's a this is really also a discussion is how to understand the Rambam. And I think that over here we're taking a side in understanding the Rambam. That, I mean, according to what we're saying right now, that the definition of coming is coming with a karma. Right? That's how we're saying right now, right? So therefore, you know, if someone, let's say, were to come without a karma, and then he were to send in a karma. Afterwards, according to what we're saying, then he wouldn't be Yetzer, right? Because coming in has to be with a karm. Right. Others understand the Rambam that it's not a condition in the coming, but there's just two parts to the mitzvah that you have to come. So once you show in, you fulfill that part of the mitzvah. But being that the mitzvah has two parts, so you also have to bring the korban. So therefore, if someone brings him, he's not yet to the mitzvah because part two was not niskayim. And according to what we're saying now, and many mefarshim learn like we're saying over here, that it's really a description of how to come. But that will be the difference in the understanding of what the Rambam means. Is it two parts of one mitzvah, which each one, its part could be accomplished, but you just need two parts to fulfill the total mitzvah. Or, that one is a description of the next, and we're describing how to come in. Now, a nafkamina that the Mefarshim talk about, in the Rambam, definitely according to, you know, those who argue on the Rambam, discuss about Bizman Hazeh. You know, assuming that there's some way of coming in or coming to a certain degree, is that, but there's no karm. Right? There's no karm. So there's discussion about that, how that works. See, if it's two parts, and one part, you know, you can't be Mekayim, so there's what to think about that maybe you know you still have a kiyum of the part that you can do. However, if the coming is a description had to come, so that really shouldn't change, right? So according to that explanation, that the mitzvah of coming, aliyah l'regel, coming with the korban. So if you can't do that, then you don't really have anything by coming without it.
Right. What about an ani who just managed can't afford even like a very cheap carbon? Would that also be enough for me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess so. I'm just basically saying that someone who's an oinus, right? On the Havas HaKorban, right?
He died on the way up, became a bomb on the way up. That's all he has with him.
He's an oinus. He's an oinus on Havas Korban. If we were to assume, alright, that one part you could do, possibly. There's a lot to think about into the specifics over here, but just to bring out the point, right? Mm-hmm.
And where else do we see a partial mitzvah?
A partial mitzvah is what? Is
worth something?
So a clear example I don't really have, not so simple. You have to pashtus when different parts are ma'akev each other. So if you don't have both parts, you really don't have. But over here it seems to be that there are sources that even in the Aliyah L'Regel, right? We don't come into the Azorah today, right? I mean, we can't get in, right? So that also wouldn't be applicable, right? There seem to be sources that there are, you know, some kind of success team has some value in that.
Just
right?
Think about Lulav and Esrog. What if you have the Lulav and you don't have the Esrog? Are you Mekayim that part?
No, so you're really not. Really not, right? That's why.
Or one of
the, that's why it's hard to find an example like that. Right. I mean, Kipshuta, this wouldn't be an afkamina because, you know, you need two parts. Fine, you know, so, and it's one part is ma'ak of the other. So, you know, even though you have a full kim of this part, but being that the mitzvah needs both parts, right? So that's why it's not such a simple nafkamina that I'm saying, and that's why I was really, really drawing from the fact that, that you find a partial, there's such thing as a partial kiyum.
What about tchilas?
So what about tchilas? I mean, the two mitzvahs, they're not ma'akev each other, right?
Right. So, and that what we're looking for is where there's two parts to a mitzvah, but
is that two mitzvahs? Is that two mitzvahs or two parts of tchilas?
It's two separate mitzvahs. That's really what it is, right? Right. So I mean, kipshuta, like I mentioned before, it's not really such a good nafkamina because whenever you have two parts to mekayem a mitzvah, even if they're two separate parts, but once you need both parts, so if you can't be mekayem one part for whatever reason, the mitzvah doesn't really change either, right? And the mitzvah requires two parts, and you shouldn't have any kiyum either. Right, so like I'm saying, it's not such a simple nafkamina. Right? It's really, really taking on some assumptions which are not so strong. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is our introduction over here, just filling out a little bit what we have over here, the different mitzvahs, the mention of the Shittas Rambam, and like we're saying, this is something to keep in mind. As we're learning, do we see in the sugyas for or against? Okay, let's see. Zakta Mishnah Hamol. Hakol chayam b're'iyah. Chutz mi'cheir shayt v'kotan. The Mishnah says everyone is a chiv re'iyah on everyone except for a number of types of people that the Mishnah will talk about. We'll see in the Gemara Hakoil. We're already familiar, Lashon HaKoil, when the Mishnah would say something that it's coming to include someone that you might have thought otherwise. Who's the Mishnah? Excluding Ches Mecheir, Shoyte, V'Kotten. Cheresh, Shoyte, and Ekotten. Now this list is usually the list of Lav B'nei Deya that we find in many Mishnayis that they're excluded because there's no Chiv on those who are not in the category of a bar das. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says kol chayim re'iya. Rashi says b'mitzvus re'iya is kol zechurcha. Rashi tells us the source. Re'iya is kol zechurcha. Shetzrichim lehistrois bazor b'regel. Right, Rashi talks about showing up in the regel, right? Shem Tosis makes the point in the Rashi. The Rashi in this Mishnah over here seems to be mentioning just the showing up in the Azara. That's what the Ri over here talks about. And those of us who saw the Gemara, that there is a Rashi on Omer Beis, the Banam Rashi on Omer Beis. Really, when the Mor resets the Mishnah, the Mor says, "Afpi shapoter min ha-re'iya chayv b'simcha." Okay, this is talking about the Cheresh and the Sugya over here. Rashi says, "Shupoter ba'olas re'iya le'rois." Rashi over here does mention about the oila. Now, what the issue over here is, or might be, is that, I mean, the Mishnah is giving exclusions, right? So, do these exclusions, or the Hakol Chayovim, whichever one it is, which Mishnah does it apply to? The mitzvah of showing up, or the mitzvah of bringing, of the korban itself, or both? Right, so according to Rashi, the way Rashi in the Mishnah says, Rashi would seem to say, it sounds like the Mishnah is only discussing the mitzvah to show up. That's what Rashi in the Mishnah says, right? The Rashi later on, like we said before, seems to put it together. Tosfos, that's really what Tosfos is dealing with over here. Tosfos says that it's referring to both. And it would seem like that in Halacha Koponim, in Rashi, would sound like that it applies to both. Maybe there's a reason why Rashi in the Mishnah explains it like this. We'll see. Now, the next Rashi says as follows: Chos mecheshet v'katan lav v'nei deyaninu uptur mimitzis. So Rashi says that this group are potter, because lav nei deinu and the ptur min ha-mitzvus. Now, you know, as we read the Mishnah a little further, we would come back to question this Rashi over here, because the Mishnah itself tells us that explains the cotton that we're talking about is not potter, is not every cotton. There are ketanim, right? That, you know, Chogis Beisel Beishamai, exactly what's the cutoff point, but definitely cotton there is, right? So, I mean, the reading of the Mishnah, right? Chutz mikotten, ezehu kotten, sounds like it's going back on that, right? Which is the kotten that was exempted, and etc. The Mishnah explains. So, if that's true, so the reason for kotten is not really because he's not a bardas, but the reason for kotten is something else, maybe because he can't walk or whatever it is. All right, so that's a question that after one, you know, reads the Mishnah, has it over a few times, you come back to the Rashi, you have to ask yourself this question. now true that I mean, a cotton is never mechuyev, right? That's still true. So the Rashi tells us that the cotton that we're talking about over here is really mitam chinuch, which it's midrash in Rashi. That's really a chiv on the father, not on the cotton itself. So on the one hand, it's true that lav bnei deyanin, who does play a role, that it exempts him from the chiv of the Torah. But in the reading of the Mishnah, something is still a little bit missing over here.
Rashi is not really saying different than the Gemara says on Amud Beis.
Yeah,
right. It says Cheresh Dumya Deshot V'Katan, right? Mashot V'Katan Lav Bar Dea of Cheresh, right?
So is the Gemara over there explaining the reasoning for the halacha, or just the description of the person?
Again, we're trying to understand the what type of cheresh the Mishnah is talking about, and we do it by associating it with that it's the same as the shota and katan, right? So that's the reasoning, not the...
No, I think there's two points over here. No, there's a reason and there's a description. right? We're trying to describe the cheresh. So we're saying that the description of the cheresh follows the description of the cotton. Now, you want to know what's the reason for the halacha? I think that's a different point. Okay.
From the end of our Mishnah, it's mashma that a cotton that can't walk is, let's say the father can't, he can't walk up with his father, is pater, right? So I understand that's talking about a cotton that has das. Right, so therefore.
What do you mean a cotton that has das? Is that
word, what?
Is there such thing as a cotton that has das?
Well, that he reached the age of chinuch. Right?
Okay, but what
was. Very smart kid.
Right.
Well, when we talk about lav b'nei deyaninu, I mean, in all other areas, and even over here, right, the cotton does not have a chiv in the Torah, because he's lav b'nei deyaninu, as smart as he is, there's no such thing, right? Right? Every cotton, right, is potter. Right, even the genius child is father. Right, so I don't think that's where we want to go.
The problem is later on by Cheresh. Some of them have capacity, and some of them don't. So
okay,
he seems to be just explaining that what he's talking about here is the ones who have no capacity. It's not
okay.
Talking about a person who has capacity.
Okay, right, that's true.
So when we. I think what Shlomo is saying is that when we explain that we're speaking about the ones who have no capacity, the way he says it is that he says that it's like a cotton because
that's all true. Okay, I mean the point that I was raising is that I thought there were two distinct things. There's a description, there's a description of the person, and then after that there's a reasoning why he's potter, right? And that's why I would have thought that these are two different issues. Now, even if your point was valid, but I think all you just did was just shifted the responsibility of the question.
Yeah, no, that was my only intent.
Okay. Okay. Right. All right. Yeah. I'm sorry, Alan. What were you saying?
So, according to your understanding of the Mishnah, what's the reason that a cotton is not obligated? Because he can't walk, or because he's not a badeh?
Well, I mean, if the obligation that exists by a cotton is chinuch, so that's what we're talking about. And it wouldn't be sufficient to say that he's not obligated because he's not a badeh, because there is a cotton that is mechuyev. Right, so, right, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you could maybe arrange the cheshbon that the chiv never talked to him. So if you want to know why is he potter, it's because of he has the ptur of lav b'nei deyin, right? Maybe it'll boil down to that. But the hard that we're saying is that l'chor there's the Mishnah itself seems to say that the reason why the cotton is the whole cotton it has to do with the ability to go that's what the Mishnah seems to be saying.
Also, so even if he would be appropriate for chinuch, right? Even if he would be appropriate for chinuch at this point, right?
Even if he'd be appropriate for chinuch, what does that mean?
That in other respects, he's already reached age of chinuch.
He's mature enough to understand the Liam Regal. He just physically can't walk.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
For some reason, maybe he's physically not well developed or something. He can't walk or something.
Okay.
So that's what we're saying. So he's puzzled, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of Mishnahs that speak about a katan, and we're not we typically don't factor in chinuch for their patur, right? I mean. Almost to speak with the Chayr Shatan and Katan and say that they're Pater for Mitzvahs. We mean to include even a Bar Chinuch at that point, right? Meaning at least Min Adin.
So, how are you asking? Do you want to know why all those Mishnahs don't talk about the Chinuch aspect? Why does this Mishnah talk about it?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that over here he's not even a bar chinuch yet, because we're talking about possibly one that you can hold your hands hold his hands.
See, chinuch really has to do, you know, different mitzvahs have different, it has a different point of chinuch. I don't think there's like a standard chinuch. I think that that's really what it is. Bar chinuch is, you know, when the Braise talks about different things, tak for different ages, it's a different thing. Things which have to do with understanding has to do with that. But other mitzvahs, chayes katan hayadel naneya, right? We had in sukkah, right? You know, each mitzvah has its. So this is the chinuch condition of this mitzvah. That's what this is.
Is that can make it up there? It's a physical basis for the condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's no such thing as a stam bar chinuch.
Right. I don't think that would be accurate to say.
It doesn't make sense.
You just would compare
the chayrus to shaita, but
they compare the
shaita and cotton.
What are you pointing
out? Rashi compares the chayrus to shaita of cotton. La bar de shaita of cotton. It brings. But now it's just limited to shaita.
Chutz mecheshet v'kotten, the lav b'nei deyan ninhu, who b'tum mitzvus. You want to say maybe he's only going on chesh and shaita? That's what you want to offer.
What we're saying, it would seem like the word shouldn't have included.
That's what we're asking, right? That's what we're asking. Right, if we had the license to delete the word cotton there, then we could answer our question. But okay. Let's see a little further over here. Zok the Mishnah further. Tumtum adreginis v'noshem v'avodim she'enem mishuchron. Okay? Yeah, the next group over here. Tumtum adreginis v'noshem. Right? Tumtum is someone that it's not clear whether it's a zoch or a nekeva. Adreginis is a person that has the simonim of both zoch and nekeva. And noshim, women, and avodim shen mechron, avodim which have not been freed. Okay, we'll wait for the Gemara to discuss this. Okay, let's see a little further over here. Hachiger v'asuma v'hacholam v'hazokin, hachiger, person who's lame. Difficulty walking, v'hasuma, a blind person, v'hachoylo, someone who's sick, v'hazokin, an elderly person, mishen yochol lalo is viraglo. Now, see, over here also you have to ask yourself over here. We understand that suma, you know, is something different, right? You know, as a matter of fact, maybe you even want to know why is suma there in the middle over there. It would seem like chiger, choyle, and zoki, and mishin yochla alas baragla, they all share the same issue, right? Same reasoning for it. That's what I meant to point out, that, you know, why is suma in the middle of chiger and choyle? But aside from that, isn't chiger and choyle, zokin, aren't they because of one reason and suma because of a different reason?
Is it? I mean, where are we going with the Gemara later on?
What other reasonings do you have?
Suma, it's probably very hard for a suma to be able to let it go as much as everybody else.
No. Suma is different because the other ones are regular people who something happened to them. A suma could have been blind from birth.
Like maybe someone's
not. That's fine. But
someone was
zucking for
birth.
Right.
Isn't that the suma because the yira?
I mean, I don't know if everybody. There, that's a different tana, possibly.
Oh, right? Really? Okay. So this is a little new idea here. So we'll have to be mavar that. Okay, we'll have to clarify that such a thing. But regardless, the other question that we want to ask over here is that are there different groups over here? It's really all the same thing. I mean, you know, different ways of reason why a person can't walk, you know? You know, whether he's a chiger, you know, whether he's a choyla, zokin, you know, mishnoch amalon, that's what they all are. I'm like, you know, well, what's, right? So what are the different, why are we elaborating all these things? And once you say mishnoch lahu ralo, that you basically, that included everything. I mean, is it something, you know, right? Well, why is the Mishnah speaking this all out? Mm-hmm. Anyone have any thoughts on this?
Just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I could give a tour to some of these people who could maybe push themselves to go, but I don't know what the definition of sucking is. I don't know. But is that a particular age, a cutoff of an age? But if you reach that age and you're able to go, you could go, but you maybe have a head to not to go. And similarly, a chayla, you know, you could maybe push yourself and make it. Maybe that's why they're enumerating.
Okay.
Anybody who can't go, about it, doesn't have to go. But these categories by themselves could generate a head to not to go.
Now,
even if you technically could, you know, push yourself.
Now, I mean, I think that's what we're talking about. Let's understand this. I mean, if we're talking about that someone physically can't come. So, you know, you're an oinus. You know, I don't think, right, we don't need the posse. You know, the moral learns, right, there's a condition, he has to be able to come, right? So obviously we're talking about that he'll make it there, someone will carry him, he'll get there, right? That's not what we're, right? He's not part because of oinus over here.
When it says, let's say, that the katan has to be able to walk up
right.
But Lemaisa, is he mechuyev to walk? Once he's at the stage where he can walk, you know, can he use one of those hoverboards to?
I don't think that any conditions had to get in there. Is there? Right? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, you know,
so that would could that, someone, I mean, that would explain why
someone,
you
know,
need
take,
a pasuk.
Take a, you know, an Uber off there. I guess I don't know. Whatever, you know. I don't think it says anywhere, you know, I had to do it. It's
so
just the conditions.
So that's why he's not an onus.
Right. Same, right. That's what I meant to say. Exactly. 100%. Right. So that's why I'm not sure what where Alan's heading over there.
I don't understand what your objection. Your objection is to the Mishnah saying, the Mishnah says flat out, right? B'chol mi she'en yochel, she'en yochel alos raglav.
Right.
Why is the Mishnah saying that then?
That's the condition.
Huh? You know, the Mishnah is saying that's the condition. So in Echol Alas Baraglov. Now, is
so
that
now I'm
is that, that
additional heter that you could do it, but with difficulty that you have a heter not to do it. If you hit one of these other categories, right? If you're a chayla or a zaken, you could do it, but you want to take the day off or whatever, you have a heter not to go.
What's your heter? What?
I don't know. The Mishnah's got. I'm just proposing.
Okay, so you see, you have to find a source for that. I know, I mean, there's special recognition to what they call it, senior citizens. Okay, well, you gotta find the source for that, alright? Let's see. Zakta Mishnah, right? Let's see the Rashi. There's a Rashi over here. Chiv asuma kol yalif mikroi b'gimora. Fine. Kulhu yalif mikroi b'gimora. Umishen yochel alas baraglav. Zak Rashi miyushalayim lazoro. The barometer that we're working with is shmishen yochel alas baraglav miyushalayim lazoro. This is what Rashi would seem to be that we're talking Yerushalayim Lazor. Sounds like as opposed to from where he lives. You know, he's not in Yerushalayim, right? Mishenoch Lalois Biraglov Yerushalayim Lazor. Right, that's what we are measuring. Uvimor Mefarish Luhu. Okay, let's see. Zok the Mishnah. Okay, so we just saw the whole list now. Now the Mishnah is coming back to explain. Ezel cotton. The cotton that we said that was exempt, the chutz mi cotton, kol shen yochol lirkoiv al ksefav shal ove volalis mishlaim laharabayis. Now, this Loshen HaMishnah, Mirushalayim Lahar HaBayis, that's a little point over there. What does the Mishnah mean with that? I mean, the mitzvah l'chayr is to come to the Azor. Right? So we would have expecting the Mishnah to say, like Rashi himself said previously, right? Mirushalayim l'Azor. So does the Mishnah really mean Azorah, and just Mishnah for some reason is expressing Azorah as Har HaBayis? Or what the Mishnah is saying is that the condition is really Mirushalayim Har HaBayis. You know, in deciding whether this person is Bechlal, the mitzvah or not, it's taka not dependent on Azorah. That will be a way to read the Mishnah. We'd have to know why is that so? How did that come to be?
What's the difference between Har HaBayis and Azor? Isn't that the first level on Har HaBayis? The first thing you would encounter there?
You're right, but the Azor is not there, right? The Azor is pretty, it's further up.
Well, if you get to the border of Har HaBayis, you're not in the Azor yet.
Right.
Once you step onto Har HaBayis, right, whatever, you're over the border, you're level with the Azor, no? Or
not really. Not really, isn't it much higher?
It's a higher level?
Yeah.
Yeah,
higher level. So it's a mountain. The Tosfos Yontif says that once you could get to Har HaBayis, you could get up to the rest. something like that.
But that's just a
one flat thing. I mean, the Rosh Hashanah, discusses what. Whether what the Tosfos Yontif says is consistent with other Maamar Mekayimus, but it would sound like that really referring to the Azor. It sounds like, you know, once you get to this point, you can get further. You can get to the Azor. That's what it would seem like from Rashi. That's what it is. Right, Rashi mentioned Mishulayim Lazorah. He said, even though the Mishnah says Lahar HaBayis, but that's what it means. Somehow that's what the Mishnah means to say. Right, why the Mishnah is using that nusuch might be something to find out. Just check over here.
The Kabbalah school. We're all in the Azara. Right? The lawyer Rav Panay Rekam talking about the Azara, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see over here. So Ezel Kotten Koshin Yochol Lurka Vaksevis Beishamai Shita is... Beishamai says that Beishamai is usually... is machmir, and Beis Shammai says that the exemption of a cotton is only if he's just so small. He's any yochel lirkav aksef of shel ove v'lalis mirushalayim harbayis. Now, practically speaking, I'm not sure exactly what this means. I don't know what this means exactly. How is someone too small that he can't? He has to be able to hold on himself. what does this mean? You know?
The Masechta exactly. Brought two things. I forgot.
Oh yeah.
Right. One is that the child just would have the patience to remain on the father's shoulders for that length of time.
Okay, right.
And the other is that sort of like he knows the routine. He puts his legs out and he. Not that he's just.
He means he's involved in the process. He's he's holding the arm. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A newborn infant is not sitting on the parents' shoulders. Yeah.
Right.
He
can't
hold himself up. He's not big enough. Right. Yeah. So the point that I think that the thing is that you know, as the Mishnah with Mashi Lirkoiv, maybe that the Mashmois is that he's doing the riding here. you're not just carrying him, right? If the question, that's really what the question was, you know, if just the ability is to get him there, right, to, you know, carrying helps me one way of doing, you know, our shoulders is one way, but you could, you know, yeah, so that's the chur de pshat, right? That means that he has to have the ability in some way, to get himself up there, right, by holding on to someone else. Hakabbalah, so according to Beis Shammai, that once he's old enough, which is, you know, I don't know exactly what the age is, but it's a relatively young age, that he's already mechuyev at that age. Now again, like we're saying, I mean, this is all just a barometer to the chiyuv, right? We're not discussing how he has to come, right? You know, that's however you do it, right? But we're talking about that such a child that has the ability to ride on his father, hold on, please. That's the child that has the chiv. Right? See in the Rashi again, it's a chiv chinuch.
Why is this the barometer if it's not the required mode of transport? Well, like why would that be said as the shear? It seems to be because it's practically that's how you would get them up. But you know, what if you live very close to Harabai, if you live like right around the corner, or
I mean,
what do you mean with that?
I think kind of what someone might have been saying before. It looks like it's more than just a barometer, but that there is something inherent in the making the trek to, you know, meaning it sounds like you would think, like as everybody was saying before, like with Lulav, if a child knows how to you know, shake Dalmian, then you should do it. And similarly here, if the child is capable of
well, let's see, we'll see. Let's see the Rashi, and then I think we'll be a little bit more advanced, and then we'll discuss your point. Let's just say Beis Hillel Shita. Beis Hillel Omer Kol Sheni Yochol Lecho Is BiYodo Shel Ofer V'Lalis V'Yerushalayim Lahar Habayis Shenema Shalosh V'Golan. Beis Hillel says that no, he has to be able to walk on his own feet. Granted, you know, he could be led, assisted by someone else, but he has to be able to be Oyle Beraglov Shenema Shalosh V'Golan. Shalosh V'Golan. Right, this is the Pasuk Shol Shagom. Now let's see over here the Rashi. Zok Rashi, Ezel Cotton, Avam Kan Ve'Elach. So this is the cotton that was exemplified that the Mishnah talks about, the cotton who cannot do Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. But Mikan Avam Kan Ve'Elach, Afal Pishayne Chayv Minat Toiro. Oh, so Rashi says that over the stage he's still a cotton, he's named by Das, so there's no Chayv in the Toiro. So from the reading of this Rashi, maybe that's the understanding of the previous Rashi. As if to say that Rashi takes out like a dig from the Mishnah, right? Avol mikan ve'elach. From here on in, there's a chiyuv, as if to say that really cotton is part of his aim by das, and that will include a cotton till a certain point. After that, there's a new chiyuv called chinuch in it. So the Mishnah initially is talking about the din ha-Torah, and that is true that the Ein Bo Das is playing a role in this cotton. Every cotton has an Ein Bo Das. The difference just is that there's a new chiyuv, a new obligation as far as chinuch is concerned in the cotton that's above this age. This is Rashi, which seems to read. As if like that, that's what we've been discussing till now. It's meduik that he is mechuyev. Where does that come from? On that Rashi said, well, that's like a different chiyev. It's a new chiyev over here. That's a chiyev chinuch. Yitzuch hachom al ov al ima yilichanuch ha-bemitzis. Now there is a deek m'forshim shtelzach over here that Rashi mentions the chiv chinach al imoy. There are many sources that a mother is not m'chiv in chinach. That's a question on this Rashi over here. There's also another point over here that there is a discussion in the Rishonim as far as how the chiv chinach works. Who's the chiv on? Right? Who's the chiv on? Is it that mishum chinach Chazal gave a chiv to the child himself? Right? Or, and obviously, you know, the father will help him be mekayim that, but the din of chinach is really a chiv on the child, on a minor. Chazal taka gave him a chiv. I think most Rishonim understand, like Rashi is saying over here, that there's never a chiv on the child himself, it's just a chiv on the father to help him perform the mitzvah. That's the chiv chinuch. It's the father's obligation, really. Right, that's what Rashi would seem to say here.
It seems like a hard read of the Mishnah when it says, Hakol chayavin. And chutz me katan, and then it says ve'ezahu katan that we were talking about before. And if we're talking about right now, Rashi is saying we're talking about a completely new category of a chiyuv of chinuch. But the lashon of ve'ezahu katan seems to be commenting on the first part.
That's a point, but once we already raised this point that we just mentioned before, but would it really fit into the Mishnah Hakol Chayovim, a cotton that's Yochol Alis? According to we just been dying in Rashi, right? Hakol Chayovim. How would that translate exactly? Meaning to say, if the Chiv Chinuch is not on the child himself. Right, so would that read Hakol Chayovin on the cotton, which is Higi Lechinuch? So then, what I'm just suggesting is that maybe regardless, that it's not gonna go into the Hakol Chayovin. That halacha will just be like Rashi's mashma, like from a diik, that the chutz. He's only talking to that, but we're not excluding a country gila chinuch. But we don't mean to say that he's included in the same chiv that everyone else has, because he taka has a different kind of chiv. And as a matter of fact, the chiv is not even on him, like we're saying, right? It's, you know, it's another point.
Right, but shouldn't there be another way to introduce it rather than ezahu katan, which seems to be commenting on the katan we just mentioned?
Well, the chutz is true, right? We're saying chutz, which cotton is exempt, right? So that's true. Now, the cotton that we didn't exempt, where does he come in? Does he go back into the Hakol Chayavim? Or by telling us that only this cotton is exempt, that is suggesting that there's a cotton that has a chiv, maybe there's taka something else, right? That's what we're offering in the reading of Rashi.
Also, this katan that's able to show up, is he able to show up and bring a carbon? We're only talking about how he's able to show up.
Okay, that's a very good point that you raised. Right? Hopefully we'll get to that in a minute. Maybe. We'll try to get to it. Right? Very good point. Let's see a little further over here. Mm-hmm. Let's see Rashi. Next Rashi. I want to get to this Rashi over here, because this is has to do with what you discussed before. Shol Shagol Rashi says, right, this is the pasuk that's brought. Kipshuta, this pasuk goes back on both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and each one's understanding that Nishol Shugolim has a different cut-off point. The pasuk. Now let's see over here. Rashi says, "Haroi lalis biraglov chayav hakosuf." Now the way Rashi's bringing it, right, it would seem to be. That specifically, it's for Beis Hillel. Haroi lalis biraglov chayav hakosuf. V'kivan the godel potol menatara cotton lav bar chinuchu. Well, let's hear the Rashi. Akoponim, according to what Beis Hillel is saying. Rashi says as follows, that what defines the chi of chinuch over here, that's if his inability will be something that even a godel will be potter because of that. Yochalal's beraglov. So a godel, you know, if he could be carried, he's still potter. Godel, right? How do we know that? Yeah, where does that come from? We'll have to see anymore, right? It really comes from here. And seemingly, that's what we have to, therefore we'll have to know according to Beis Shammai, right? What are the cheshbonos in this? But let's see what Beis Hillel is saying. Beis Hillel is telling us that I mean, the chi of chinuch is not gonna supersede and not gonna include more than a godel himself. So if the cotton is not able to be oil beraglov, since a godel who can't be oil beraglov is potter, so then the cotton, there would be no mitzvah chinuch on such a cotton. Therefore, Beis Hillel says that he has to be able to be oil beraglov. That's the barometer of the chinuch over here. Now, in Shammai, Beis Shammai says that no, if he's not, I just have to know where that comes from, where that should be. L'chare Beis Hillel saying a good point. I'll just mention a ha'orah that maybe this is where the issue comes from. Because true that the cotton is any ochalalas beraglov, but that's really all a product of his katnus. That's really what it is. Right? So, therefore, one could think that, well, you can't really, you know, include that in the decision. You know, you can't equate him to the godel. Godel is something that, you know, it's because of it's a physical condition. By cotton, it really has to do with his das. Right? That's all part of the package. So we're being mechayev chinuch, right? That's what it is. So you can't say, well, you know, he doesn't have the conditions, because you know that's the idea. So I'm just raising this point over here. That it could be that's why, according to Beis Shammai, that wouldn't be the barometer.
But then, where did Beis Shammai get his share from?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Could it be that Beis Shammai is arguing with? Even on the gadol, when the chiyuv is?
So that we'll have to see. Doesn't look like there's a machlekes by gadol, right? Looks like machlekes only by cotton. Doesn't seem to be a machlekes, you know, mm-hmm. You know, chigur, whether he could hold on or not, you know. that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me just try to remember what we were getting at, right? I don't remember, Daniel, you were saying something before, which I thought that was important to first see this over here, that Rashi tells us that the reasoning over here in the Chiyuv Chinuch is because since he's missing the conditions that even a godel needs to be mechuyev, so that's why there can't be a chiyev chinuch. That was negiyah to suma. Something you were talking about cotton. I lost the thought.
I was going to get back about a cotton carbon.
Okay, so let's quickly. Just see the next part of the Mishnah and Rashi. The Mishnah says, "Beishamay yomim hariyah shtei kesef v'chagiga mo kesef beisul yomim hariyah mo kesef v'chagiga shtei kesef." This part of the Mishnah talks about the karbonis that we mentioned before, and the machloek is beisul beishamay as far as takonah drabonon, the minimum value of the korbanos, and there's machlekes Beisil v'shamay as far as which one should have the greater value. Now, if you look at the Rashi, Rashi says like this: Beisham Emrim Harish Dekesef. Rashi says, "Godol Habo Leheirois." A god who comes, he shows up. So, Flahavi Oyla, fine, and there's an amount that has to be. So, it's been doing in the Rashi right away. Rashi mentions Godol, right? Godol Habo. So, this Rashi would seem to suggest that Korban only talks to a Godol, even though a cotton has a Chiyum Shemachinuch. But a Havoaz Korban, he does not have. That's what would seem to be. Now, Tosis discusses this. Tosis assumes that cotton does. And Tosis has to get around different difficulties with that. But Tosis says that he does. Now, if you look at the Tosis, Ezel Cotton, the last line in Tosis, Rashi Pirish, the Ezel Cotton, Loi Koi, L'Ri'iyas Ponim B'Korban. Tosis quotes a Rashi that the Ezel Cotton is not talking about the Korban aspect, just for the showing up aspect. So Tosis brings a Rashi that cotton does not bring a korban. Foshim Taka talk about which Rashi is it. Actually, Marshal says we don't really have a Rashi, and who says that explicitly. Marshal tries to find maybe a place where you see in the Rashi, but all the Mefoshim say exactly what we just mentioned before. It's this Rashi right over here. The Rashi says God l'habol herois. So, in answer to your question, it sounds like there is a machlokes. Rashi and Tosis concerning this, that whether the Chiv Chinuch includes a Havoas Korban. According to the Rambam we discussed before, right, one would think that, well, if the Rambam says that without a Korban you're not doing anything, so it would seem at first glance that according to the Rambam you should have to bring a Korban, right? Because coming in without the Korban, that, you know, there's no such mitzvah. You're not really doing anything. Okay, so we'll have to hold that here, okay?
The point maybe you're referring to is that the way the Mishnah phrases it seems that there's not just the barometer is the going up, but that they should
go that. Let's hear. They should actually go up. You should actually go up. Right, I mean, but so I see from this Rashi, the Rashi says that this is just in Chiv, right?
Yeah.
Just in Chiv. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.